welcome back to Almost Famous Minute, where we're discussing the 2000 Cameron Crowe film, Almost Famous, 1 minute at a time. I'm Eric Nash from Feels Like Weezer.
I am Casey Lights from Almost Famous The Musical.
Yeah, Casey, great to have you back. I think a third time in a row now, is that right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I am happy to be back.
Really appreciate it. You've brought in some excellent insight, and it's also really interesting to hear what I think I was just talking with you about in the green room, some differences between this here movie and the musical that you've starred as William in.
Right. Yeah, there are a few differences, but they're fun to explore.
Yeah, and I even sent you that YouTube video just an hour or so ago, where it's someone in the crowd at one of the shows, what you call the performances of the musical, for the closing curtain call type number of Fever Dog.
Yeah,
it's really really fun to see the so many of the different characters coming in and giving their little Fever Dog scream.
Yeah, could you recognize some of them? Some of who was who in there?
I could kind of figure out who I think they're portraying. Yeah, I don't right. know any of the actors really.
I surveyed them when they were first announced.
Right, and I was including you, but back then I believe.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely some I can kind of. It's like, oh, I think that's Sapphire. Oh, I think that's Jeff. and definitely Russell. There was I think the Russell character kind of more in the back playing the guitar,
Right.
I think very cool. But this is minute 70 today, and it starts with William waving to Beth from Denver. And he's not in Denver, but it's Beth from Denver. Yeah. And ends with William crying in the hallway.
Right.
These hallway scenes. And the other thing we mentioned was that this is some very minimal dialogue this minute. And it's really just the one way. And William has his own own physical response back. But before we even get that far, it's the crazy thing is I love it. It's a little callback to what William had done in a much, further back previous minute. I don't know if that was, what city that might have been at this point, Phoenix or Tempe or something like that, maybe. But we're still in Greenville, and the do not disturb sign is now duct taped to the door.
Right. Yeah, I saw that. That's funny.
With additional notes of not do not disturb ever.
Right.
And that's all because William previously flipped it around when Russell was kind of giving him a hard time and not up for an interview, and Russell just kind of turned it around.
I'm so stupid. I didn't even think about that.
I don't think that's the reason why. When I watched it normally, the many times, prior to starting this this effort, but yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, I didn't even think about why.
And it's not that Russell, I think, knows that William's doing it. He just knows someone is prone to doing it. Maybe William did it more than once, or other people have done it to him. And he's just really adamant about not being disturbed. And that's why we get the reaction to the very light knock.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that. William, so much of the scene is... a good 30 seconds of this scene is dedicated to literally him sitting down and then the housekeeping going by. Like, it's a very long shot of him sitting down, getting emotional, and then the housekeeper going by, which I don't know if that was just an editing choice or that was a directorial choice, that it was just like, yeah, we want to sit here for a long time. But I noticed that rewatching it recently, I was like, yeah, they sit there for a while, but it's ultimately to cut into that really great emotional moment after she walks by, and you kind of need her to walk by, or else, there would be a continuity error. But I wonder if it was an intentional choice or a just how it worked out in the editing room.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, the editing, the way to edit it, to give him that moment or however long it might have taken for him to kind of get into the mood as an actor, you know.
Right, right.
I hadn't thought about that. Thank you.
Right, that makes sense. I also think that moment of him flipping off the door is amazing. I do that in my own life. Like, it's just like, it's the perfect like toddler thing when your mom sends you to your room or something and you're just like, you don't want to get in trouble. So you're just like, you're punching pillows and you're cursing out the door. So it's just so perfect.
Yeah, and you know, it's to me at the age I am, especially. I mean, you know, I look back at times when I did that, and I think, you know, it's only hurting myself that I did do it. You know.
Yeah. Right.
It's not a good thing that I did, but you know, that's how you learn and grow, and you know, you have those moments, and.
Yeah.
So, and Russell's response, his actual dialogue responses, and I'll make it two in a row. That's at least for sure that I have to mark it explicit. He says, "Please go the fuck away." And that really, it kind of shocks William. It seems like it takes him a good couple few seconds until he then, you know, he kind of shakes his head a little bit, and then he flips him the bird.
Yeah, and he yells it. And the way that it's edited sound-wise is, like, so loud that it is kind of shocking to the audience listening to it, because you don't expect it to be that loud. And then, it's a really funny moment. And you can hear Penny in there. Shushing him.
Mm. I noticed that.
Which is, she kind of goes, shh, you know, how she kind of was the first time he went by the room. So I think that adds to William's, you know, anger at the situation. We don't have this scene in the musical.
Okay.
So I can just kind of examine this from a very, just movie perspective, audience member perspective.
You wouldn't say there's any other kind of something else that symbolizes, you know, some frustration from William, from your character, towards Russell at some point? Would you say something like it happened? You don't have to give it exactly away or anything, but just a little bit of
a nod
to this, or just to try to get that as a plot point, kind of as a beat of the story that I think it could kind of change, you know, how the story goes, you know, in a sense. It's important that he has this moment, at least in the movie. So do you think the musical works well without it, or as I said, is there something kind of similar?
Yeah, there's something kind of similar. Okay. And it's in the place of when Russell, there's a scene where Russell and Penny are saying, we're going to go to, God, where is it?
Was it the radio DJ?
No, that's a great scene though. That's a fantastic scene, but it's right after his phone call with Ben Fong Torres, and Penny comes in and gives him his tapes, and Russell comes in as well into the room. They say come to Greenville, and it's they say, you know, they're really trying to pitch how important Greenville is to is to them, and why William has to go. And that there's kind of a moment at the end of that scene where in the musical, I think there you see a little bit of William's frustration about how, you know, he still hasn't had his interview, and Russell's like right in front of him, kind of ignoring it. So there's just a slight difference in that, but I think it works just as well. I think you see it. But this scene, as I said, without dialogue, you know, there's only one line, and it's an entire minute of essentially silence, which for a musical that is about 2 hours and 10 minutes or 2 hours to 20 minutes, you'll probably never find one of those.
You know? No, yeah.
You'll probably never find a minute of silence in there, which is something that this movie has going for it. Huh. But we have to find a way to do it in some sort of dialogue or some sort of transitional scene. And I think it works.
Hey, listener, are you registered to vote? Headcount is a nonpartisan organization that works with the music and entertainment industry to get fans to vote. To update or check your voter registration status, go to headcount.org, where you will find all the information you need to be ready for Election Day. Are you registered to vote at your current address? More than 60% of eligible voters have never been asked to register. Headcount.org is working to change that. Register to vote at headcount.org. Rolling down Highway 41. Well, what you were just saying about that, both Russell and Penny really stressing to William that he needs to continue on with them to Greenville. Well, that's what the deleted scene, the one deleted scene for this minute, and actually, I was explaining to you, Casey, back in the green room before we started, that it truly, truly probably should go in at the very beginning of next minute, but there are even more deleted scenes next minute, and actually much smaller ones, like three or four good bit smaller ones. So this one is a minute long, we're going to go ahead and do it now, even though technically we probably should go next minute, but we're kind of low on what to talk about this minute. So let me kind of explain. So it's instead of Greenville, it's Cleveland. And so it starts with,
oh no, it is Cleveland. You're right.
Okay. So they kept it pretty similar from the movie to the musical here. So it's Russell saying, you know, he wakes William up. William has ended up falling asleep here in this chair, is what's happened apparently. And it starts, this deleted scene starts with Russell waking William up with the flash of an old Polaroid camera. That's these Polaroid pictures that are have gone by the wayside in the wake of digital. But they are peppered throughout this movie and have certain important reasons that they come back to play. That's for sure later on. But it's Russell then saying, wakes him up and he says, "We'll do the interview in Cleveland." And William, just the way Patrick then acts for having just been woken up. And he is unlike himself, I think, anywhere else in the movie. He is so much more subdued. He certainly, I think, has his other subdued moments at points, but it's even more so. And I don't know that it's totally because he was just woken up.
Right.
But he does say, no, I can't go to Cleveland. One of those. Russell comes back with, "Come on, man, we'll have more time there. Then he says, don't be tense, and Penny Lane at that point joins in, and they're kind of both, each one rubbing one of William's shoulders from the front of William sitting there in this chair, and it's a lot of back and forth shots between William's view and their view looking at William, and they keep going and going, saying, come to Cleveland, and William saying, "I can't go to Cleveland." Finally, Russell admits, or he questions this, can we help it if we like having you around? It's not a real question that he expects an answer from, more of these come to Cleveland's. And then William says, "Look, I don't want to go to Cleveland, okay? I want to go home." That's when he comes out of that more subdued and he gets much more adamant, Mm-hmm. And Russell even says, the word "yell." He says, "That's good, man. I like it when you yell." I'm not gonna let you miss out on the rock mecca of the Midwest. So that's this this important reason for him to go. It's, you know, he says, "Hey, you're with us," and rock and roll, of course, you know, saying rock and roll, and Penny even joins in on that. And then she starts to say, "It's all," and William comes back with, I know, it's all happening. in the least excited way throughout the whole movie that anyone ever says it, I think.
That's funny.
Yeah. So is a fair amount of that dialogue, would you say, pretty spot on, or there's little tweaks here and there, or?
I'd say we have a scene that's inspired by that. Not much of the dialogue sounds too familiar there, but the general idea and storyline of that is reminiscent. It's funny that you said Cleveland though, because Cleveland, I was like, yep, that sounds right. Because it's been a year since I've done it, so I forgot. Sure. Yeah. But yeah, Cleveland's it, and it is kind of a similar energy of a scene. But yeah, it's a little different. But that's cool. I didn't even know that was a scene that existed. That's crazy.
Yeah, you. Just like Christian last week, I think I convinced him to to check out the untitled bootleg, you know, director's cut.
Yeah.
And at some point, you know, I mean, hey, you should just message Cameron, right? And say, can you give me a copy of the,
oh my gosh, of the untitled?
Because I think I was looking, I didn't have the heart to admit to him. I said I had gotten it myself on Amazon, this Blu-ray copy of, you know, very legit copy. You know, he was thinking of bootleg. It's just titled bootleg, you know, it's not a real bootleg.
Right.
But I feel like I looked just a month or two ago at this point, and I think at least at that point Amazon might have been out of stock or whatever, you know. But wow. You know, you, I mean, it's possible you get some, you know, other new copies or used copies. You know,
people are just digging just Almost Famous in quarantine.
Too. Yeah, yeah, that could be a huge part of it. That from a good. Good 2 years ago now, I think, where I probably got that copy of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to check it out because there are a few scenes in there. I think sometime in quarantine is when I actually watched that scene in the radio station with the guy falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that was funny. That was a good scene.
Do you not know who that actor entertainer is?
I don't. Who is that actor?
He's the partner of Jack Black for Tenacious D.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes, I know him. Gass. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Duh.
Great guitar player.
Yeah. That's great. I don't know why it didn't. Maybe I knew that when I watched it, but this is a few months ago. So I don't know. I don't always have the best memory, but I just remember the general idea of that scene. Forgot that he's in that. That's awesome. God, I want to meet Jack Black. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Can you imagine meeting Jack Black? That'd be so friggin' wild.
Yeah, and he definitely is in the other, right around this time, movie that I do have some interest in. There's actually a 5 minute at a time podcast currently ongoing covering it, High Fidelity.
Right. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I've been told to watch it a few times. So I think I'm going to watch it soon.
Definitely suggest that. Yeah. And I think I even said in a previous episode that, you know, I actually probably was more of a fan of that at around this time than I was this movie.
Right.
But my love for this movie has just grown a good bit over many years now.
Yeah. It's like the two movies when you look up Almost Famous on Google that are related, like when Google recommends two movies are Spinal Tap and High Fidelity. So, which are drastically different movies than Almost Famous, obviously, but you know, they're following bands and
The only other thing, I mean, like you were talking about how kind of, you know, I mean, we talked about the dialogue, but you're kind of saying like the sound, not a whole lot of sound, but there is little bits of sound. And I wonder, you know, okay, is there some Foley work happening, you know, or taken, you know, I believe not all the time, you know, are sounds substituted. I mean, I think a lot of times Foley work kind of happens for like more outside scenes where they just wipe, you know, all the surrounding noise that might be nearby of cars or something on a nearby street going around and having to overdub and have people redo their lines and Foley work, a lot of Foley work happening. But you know, just the paper kind of rallying. He's holding his paper when he's giving the finger and then he's right. getting a little upset with the bags, kind of trying to get them off, get them off of him and laid down in this chair next to him.
Right. And I'm sure there's probably, I'm not sure, but there's also a chance that maybe Cameron was doing some direction over the scene, you know, okay, now turn around, go sit down, you know, and then they just used Foley to dub over that. But you never
know. Yeah, that is a weird thing I've seen, you know, whether it was like the Disaster Artist or something and the director's talking over, you know, while this other acting is going on. It's like, how's he doing that? And they're not picking that up.
It's like, well, yeah. I just had to do that. Oh, cool. Something. You just have to replace that audio. It's inconvenient, obviously, because you now have to do twice the amount of work on that scene. Yeah. But sometimes there's just scenes like that, which because there's so many things happening in one take, like he's knocking on the door, he's slipping it off, he's going to sit down, then he's going to go cry. You know, there's just so many things happening in one little camera movement there that I was like, maybe there's a chance that was involved, but there's also a chance that it was just rehearsed really well and he had it all down to a T and it's all live. It's a great minute though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every minute is great.
I think we've probably shot our bolt with it. Do you have anything else you want? You kind of noticed or anything? Yeah.
I don't think so. No. Other than a great performance by Patrick in this scene. That's one of his better emotional scenes in the film. So yeah.
Well, so in that case, if you want to just give some plugs, and we can call this one a wrap.
All right. Well, I'm Casey Likes. I'm on all social medias at just Casey Likes. I'm a filmmaker. I'm an actor. Until Broadway comes back and Almost Famous is hopefully there. I'm making some films. So just check out my social media and watch my films, I guess. So that's about it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, something else to add to that would be, like, at least the Twitter handle for the show is, correct me if I'm wrong, because I was just typing it in last week when I was uploading, or, you know, getting the socials out for last week's episode, or not last week's now, but last week's,
right,
68 now, at Almost Famous Broadway, or it might be B-Way even, or something
right.
like that.
Yeah. Yep.
They had to shorten Broadway down to B-Way, I think. Yep. So people should go check that out. And I'll actually even make sure I include that link in the upcoming couple this one and probably last week's at this point. Posts of the show and it's in the show notes, so to speak.
And I've heard a rumor that if you just shout "It's all happening" loud enough into the sky, a tour bus will actually just show up to your doorstep. And it will take you to the theater where Almost Famous is being performed in 2085 or something.
Yeah, it's a different it's kind of like the next version of Siri or Alexa.
Yeah.
Shout out! It's all happening wherever.
That's right.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Casey. And this might be the last time we have you on for at least a little while. We never know. You might be able to make it in for next week too, minute 71, but I really appreciate you coming on for these three episodes at least. And, hopefully down the road, we get you on at least another one or two.
Man, I've been happy to be here. Happy that you asked me. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for, getting back in touch with me. I think when I noticed you on Twitter and said, hey.
Oh yeah. Course.
It's so great that when some people are so nice. Like, I can tell you're just a great, nice guy, and really look forward to seeing so much more from you in the future, and seeing the show itself again in a good year or two, probably, unfortunately, but you know, hopefully we get some vaccines and so forth.
Oh yeah, definitely. Thanks, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you. So this was minute 70, and one other thing I definitely have to mention for the show itself, we're part of the Pantheon Podcast Network, and you can find a lot more great rock and roll related and music related too shows, podcasts at pantheonpodcast.com. This was minute 70, and we'll be back next week with minute 71. Until then, it's all happening.
It's all happening.
I am a golden god! Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah! And I was born in the backseat of a Greyhound bus, rolling down Highway 41.
You know the Queen of Hearts is always your best bet.